Welcome to Clifton Health on Air.
I'm your host, Danielle.
And I'm your co-host, Lauren.
And welcome to Clifton Health on Air. We are a local health department podcast here in Clifton, New Jersey. And we also service the township of Little Falls.
And we are located 12 miles west of New York City.
Welcome. And today we are talking about e-cigarettes or vapes. And with us today, we have Lael Helwani, health educator at the Clifton Health Department, and Tom Whittles, president of Clifton Against Substance Abuse, which is CASA. Welcome, both of you. And I just wanted to have a brief discussion about vapes, right? So e-cigarettes or vapes are the most commonly used tobacco product among U.S. youth. According to the CDC, e-cigarettes are the most commonly used tobacco product among U.S. youth. Mm-hmm. What is vaping?
So by now, most of us have heard of vaping. Vaping is the act of inhaling an aerosol that's produced by an e-cigarette or an e-cig, or a vape. You know, you might hear me use those terms interchangeably. So the device heats up a liquid solution that usually contains nicotine, flavorings, and some other chemicals to create, and again, I emphasize, an aerosol. This is not harmless water vapor that we're talking about. Hmm. This is not something, it's not the steam that comes out of a tea kettle. Think of, what comes out of a hairspray can. It's a mixture of all these chemicals that ultimately gets inhaled into the lungs. So, you know, a lot of people ask, where did vaping come from? Hmm. So vaping originated in the early 2000s by a pharmacist in China, who actually, he had the right intentions. He was looking for a quote-unquote safer alternative to smoking cigarettes. He had lost his father to lung cancer. His father was a very heavy smoker, and that loss was very heavy for him. Mm-hmm. He himself was also a heavy smoker. He had smoked a pack or two a day. And so he wanted to find, again, a safer alternative to smoking cigarettes, something that wasn't as dangerous. And so he created this device, which actually came to him in a dream.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's interesting. It's interesting.
The inspiration for creating this concept came to him in a dream. Mm. And so it took off, right, in China. And then it, you know, by 2009, 2010 is when it was introduced to America. I want to say it really took off 2016, 2017 with Juul, right? We've all heard of Juul, which a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Which I'll talk about in a little bit. But it's interesting because the creator of the vape is now a dual user, meaning that he couldn't quite get off of the cigarettes while transitioning to vaping. And so now he does both. So you have to think about, you know, the chemicals and the flavorings and the heavy metals that are introduced. And, of course, everything you get with a cigarette for both devices. Unfortunately, we're seeing that a lot with adults and young adults who are trying to get off of the cigarettes. And so when you think about the purpose of these devices, which was, again, you know, intended to get smokers off of, you know, their cigarettes, the traditional cigarettes, and onto this alternative that was supposed to be safer. Unfortunately, what has actually happened is, you know, we have a whole new generation of youth that has become addicted to these products.
So his intention was for
An
adult
to come off. Right. And what's happened is that, you know, due to the marketing of these devices and, you know, the promise of it being a stress relief and, you know, being cool to do with among peers, you know, a lot of youth. And, of course, the flavorings.
Let's just touch upon that. So in 2023, e-cigarettes were the most commonly used tobacco product among middle school and high school students in the United States. Mm-hmm. The CDC states that 2.1 million students currently use e-cigarettes.
Yes.
This includes 550,000 middle schoolers and 1.56 million high school students.
Right.
Right. So there is a problem here, right?
Oh, absolutely.
What, why are we seeing this, I guess? Like, why? I know you touched upon it because of the flavors in the marketing.
Right, right.
But do you think that there's any other anything else?
So the marketing is definitely a huge part of it. You know, it really upsets me when we still hear about these companies that deny ever marketing to youth. Just look at a previous advertisement for Juul. You know, you see young faces, you see smiling faces, you you know, you see the promise of, you know, living a stress-free life and it's good for your mental health, when it actually, you know, studies have found that it's the exact opposite. But with youth, you know, there's several reasons why we're very concerned, specifically with youth using these devices. One of the biggest concerns that we have is there are very high levels of nicotine in these products. It could be between 1 and 3 packs worth of cigarettes, you know, nicotine in a single, you know, pod or a single device, disposable device. So we're talking about very high levels of nicotine. And when you think about the fact that a young person's brain is not fully developed until about age 25, right? So they are more sensitive to those effects of nicotine. There's also the concern that vaping becomes a gateway to smoking cigarettes and using other drugs, which is unfortunate because it can, you know, again, studies have found that it can lead to other drug use and possibly a lifetime of addiction. There's also the concern with some of the chemicals that have been found in these, you know, early studies that have looked at these products. Just to give you an idea of one of these chemicals, formaldehyde. Right.
Yeah.
Formaldehyde, which a lot of people are familiar with. We know it as a carcinogen. It's found typically in household products, building materials. We know it, you know, as a chemical to preserve dead bodies. Right.
Yes.
Very scary that formaldehyde has been found in many samples of that aerosol because it's something that's produced during the heating process as the liquid is converted into an aerosol. Cadmium is an example of a heavy metal that's been found in these devices. That's actually found within the heating coils of the device, and we know again cadmium to be a carcinogen, and it's known to lead to lung issues and kidney issues. So we're seeing kind of some common factors with some of these, and flavorings. A lot of people think that the flavorings are harmless, but we know the flavorings to be harmful. Diacetyl is one of those flavorings that is generally recognized as safe for ingestion, but when it comes to inhaling the chemical, it's a problem. So in terms of popcorn lung, have you guys heard of popcorn lung?
I don't know if our listeners actually know what popcorn lung is. Yeah. So let's explain.
So diacetyl exposure has been linked to popcorn lung. Mm-hmm. The actual name is bronchiolitis obliterans. We know it as popcorn lung, which actually got its name from an incident that occurred in the early 2000s, where we found that microwave popcorn factory workers who were just working around diacetyl were getting sick. They were developing all sorts of issues with their lungs, shortness of breath, respiratory issues, wheezing. Some were actually passing away, and that's actually where the term popcorn lung came from. But the actual name for it is bronchiolitis obliterans. Basically what it is it's a serious, irreversible lung disease that causes scarring and narrowing of the airways. So it makes it incredibly difficult for somebody to breathe. And so it's interesting. Diacetyl has since been removed from microwave popcorn, still found in many brands of e-cigarettes, right? Because it has that sweet, buttery taste to it. Again, when people say that flavorings are safe,
they're clearly not.
They're not safe.
Right.
They're not safe. Those are some of the concerns we have. Of course, we know that youth are not just vaping, you know, those nicotine solutions. They're vaping worse. They're vaping THC, CBD, which, you know, we heard of something called EVALI, which stands for e-cigarette and vaping associated lung illness, in 2020, right before the pandemic hit, where young people who were otherwise healthy were ending up in the hospital with symptoms that were kind of similar to popcorn lung. So coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath, and it was traced back to, again, vaping, specifically THC solutions.
Wow.
Because there's an ingredient, vitamin E acetate, which has been linked to EVALI.
Wow.
You know, unfortunately, we stopped counting the cases when the pandemic hit. We kind of put that on the back burner, but I'd be interested to see what the statistics are.
Yeah, I would too. I really do.
So,
and
that's kind of a vaping 101. Tom, I don't know Tom, if you have anything to add.
If you would like to chime in as CASA, what are your thoughts?
Well, thank you for having me today. And as the president of CASA, I'm happy to be here and I'm happy to work with Leal. I'm learning more about vapes than I've ever known before. CASA is the Municipal Drug Alliance for the City of Clifton. We work very closely with the health department. And what we do is we go out and try to educate the youth about the things that they should stay away from. alcohol, drugs, mm-hmm. vapes. We work within the Boys and Girls Club, the Board of Education, and the community. Mm-hmm. And working with the partnership with the health department on this vape issue, which we all realize now is actually killing our youth.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
really dangerous stuff. Leal and the health department have done a phenomenal job of getting the message out. But we as an organization, CASA as an organization, we have to do more. We have to educate the community.
Mm-hmm.
We have to educate our politicians. We have,
yeah.
we have you know, issues with the laws not being strong enough
mm-hmm.
for the health officers and the health educators to go out and,
right.
and enforce them.
Mm.
Our city council, our city ordinances, our governing body. And we've been talking about this for, you know, several years, since
mm-hmm.
probably 2000
when
Leal started
yeah.
dealing with these issues. So it's our role, and we're all volunteers. CASA is made up of all volunteers. We're a board of trustees. We meet monthly.
Okay.
And one of our topics is always on our agenda is vapes, how we're dealing with it. How is the health department? How can we work together
yeah.
with them just to get the message out about the dangers of
mm-hmm.
vapes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And you touched upon our partnership. In your own words, can you describe the partnership with the Clifton Health Department
and
CASA?
The partnership is phenomenal. We really... I
second that. No, we feel the same way about CASA.
The health department, I mean, Leal, mm-hmm. the whole team, you know, right from the top, right from John Beagle on mm-hmm. down, is... take all of this stuff serious. And,
mm-hmm.
and I tell people, I mean, I sat on some of the focus groups.
Oh, yeah,
You know, when we as, me as a citizen, you know, again, I'm a volunteer, but me as a citizen, when I have a health question, whether it was during the pandemic, whether it's about vapes, whether it's the legalities of things, you can reach into our health department and know that you're going to get an answer that is true, legitimate, concise, and if they don't have the answer, they'll get it for you. They'll do the research and come back to you with that. That's the partnership that we need, because again, we're all volunteers
mm-hmm.
and we work closely with them to help them get their message, them meeting the health department, get their message out. Without that, it just doesn't work, because people, I just recently, I spoke at the council meeting, at the last council meeting, and it was really about the vapes, and it was about the smoke shops in the city of Clifton
mm.
that are selling these things. They're selling them to minors. They're selling, you know, and it's problematic. And it's problematic for us as an organization, problematic as for Leal and the health department, because She can't be at every store.
Right.
She can't be checking every location.
I know.
We
wish we can multiply.
Right.
I know. For sure.
So we have to really work together
mm-hmm.
with our group, the
mm-hmm.
health department,
yeah. and
city leaders, the community policing folks are actively involved
yes.
with us. It's a partnership and it's a collaboration of people coming together for the right reasons. You know, we've been through the opioids and the heroin and all of those things, but vapes is a problem that, and we don't know what the
long-term,
down the road
yeah.
long-term
exactly.
results
yeah, the long-term
are going to be.
Are
you know, you talk
be,
about popcorn
mm-hmm.
lung and things
mm-hmm.
like that. These kids and kids don't realize it. It's,
no,
it's and the schools. I meet with the superintendent pretty regularly.
Yeah.
It's a problem in our schools.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I know Leal and CASA, mm-hmm. you guys do amazing things in partnership with the Board of Ed. And
yes.
can you just describe what are some of the things that you both do?
Sure. Yeah. So Tom touched on some of it, but I like to think that we've been ahead of the curve, you know, with
okay.
some of our education and enforcement efforts. We've been providing education to our middle school and our high school students probably since 2016, 2017. More recently, we've started offering the program to fifth grade students, and this year I believe we're going to offer the program to fourth grade students.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people think that is way too young to offer this type of, you know, vaping prevention education, But here's the thing. So with elementary school, we have an opportunity to intervene, mm-hmm. right? There's an opportunity to warn them about the dangers of vaping before they move on to middle school, because again, we're seeing so a many lot. Middle school students yes. that are becoming hooked. By the time they get to high school, that may be too late, you know, to intervene at that point. So even if the students aren't familiar with what vaping is, which is often the case when I did this program for fifth grade, we have the opportunity to provide them that education so that they can make an informed decision.
Right.
And we also have to remember that fourth and fifth grade students are at an age where peer pressure, mm-hmm. right, can influence their behaviors.
Yes.
And so what we really want to do is equip students with the knowledge and the skills that they need to resist that peer pressure and make healthy choices.
Absolutely.
Again, Tom kind of touched on this a bit, but we've also have been committed to doing the enforcement aspect. You know, education is great, but it's not enough. You know, we have to hold some of these smoke shops and tobacco establishments accountable for selling to minors. So that's one of the things that we look for. We send in a minor okay. with money provided by the city. We have them attempt to purchase a tobacco product. And whatever the outcome is, we go in, we speak to the owner or the manager, let them know that we just performed a tobacco inspection. And the other thing that we're looking for is making sure that they aren't carrying these illegal flavored vapes, which have been illegal since April of 2020. You know, I still have wow. smoke shops that like to tell me that they didn't know anything about it. But, you know, but it's been four years at this point.
It's been a while.
You know, these places are, they have to be accountable. They have to yeah. do their research. They have to, you know, they can exist, but they have to do it legally.
Right.
You know, they cannot be selling products to minors. We have zero tolerance for that.
Absolutely.
And they, you know, they cannot be selling these flavored vapes, which we know that youth are primarily using. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to kind of give a brief update of some of these inspections for 2024. Like I said, we've been doing this for a couple years now. But we've done so far in 2024, 21 inspections of smoke shops and hookah establishments. We found 4 that sold to a minor, but we did not send a minor in every case. And we found 11 had flavored vapor products. Three were suspected to have flavored vapor products, meaning even though we didn't see it when we were there, we had reason to believe that they were selling, whether it was the minor that saw it or if we observed the boxes of flavored vapes in the recycling. And then we did 44 inspections of other establishments, you know, your convenience stores, your supermarkets, your gas stations, and we found that 10 sold to a minor. So this shows you that it's not just a problem with the smoke shops. You know, we have to hold...
Everyone accountable because we do see a lot of kids after school.
Absolutely.
They just want to get a snack and stuff like that.
Right.
So, yeah, we're going to hold everyone accountable.
Exactly.
I love to hear that.
We have to make sure that we go everywhere in Clifton. And like you said, Danielle, just make sure we're holding them accountable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our message to the smoke shops is this. We're not going to go away. You know, they wish we would go away, but we're not going to go away until every smoke shop in Clifton and Little Falls is doing the right thing. You know, we're doing this ultimately to protect our youth mm-hmm. Who are using these products the most. There is no need for a 10-year-old and 11-year-old, sometimes younger, to be exposed to these products and, you know, at risk of being addicted for life. And so as Tom said, you know, the health department in collaboration with police, you know, some of the legislative folks, more recently we started doing inspections, or we're going to be doing more inspections with the Division of Taxation because they have a bunch of statutes that they enforce on their end that we are not able.
Can you briefly talk about that?
Yeah. So recently, we were able to make a connection with somebody at the Division of Taxation. Actually, it was a complaint regarding one of our smoke shops, and they were interested in what we were doing. You know, they were interested in our CTACE, Clifton Tobacco Age of Sale Enforcement Program, our partnership with CASA and the police department. And they kind of wanted to join in on that and see, you know, if they could also kind of do their own enforcement with us to kind of make it a stronger collaboration. And so we recently did an inspection at Omar's Smoke Shop, formerly Omar's. Now it's Sky's Smoke Shop on Van Houten. This is one of our problem places. Mm-hmm. And we did our inspection with the Division of Taxation. You know, there is a court case pending, but we did find a violation in terms of the flavored vapor products. The Division of Taxation ended up confiscating a large amount of product. So again, there's still a court case pending on that. We'll have to see what happens.
That's wonderful.
And we plan on going to each and every smoke shop and other problem places in the city of Clifton and the township of Little Falls. So again, Tom was, you know, praising us, but I have to praise him and all of his support, you know, with CASA, and his support of our efforts, our education efforts and our collaboration efforts, the support of our police department, our health officer, John, who's always been so supportive of me going out, you know, whatever you need, mm-hmm. he'll make sure I have. He's very passionate about this issue as well. I think as long as we're still here, you know, these inspections will continue until every tobacco establishment in Clifton does the right thing.
Yeah. And this is to save our kids.
Like, it is.
Our children.
It's about the youth.
The youth of Clifton and Little Falls. That is the right. future. So we want
right.
to make
I mean,
sure
you mentioned 2.1 million youth are using, yes. actively using these products on a regular basis. And that's not okay.
Yes. And among students who are currently using e-cigarettes, mm-hmm. 1 in 4 use an e-cigarette every day.
Yes.
Every day. Mm-hmm. And 1 in 3 use an e-cigarette on at least 20 of the last 30 days.
Yeah.
And 9 in 10 mm-hmm. are using flavored e-cigarettes. Yeah. So when you talk about those flavored e-cigarettes are not geared towards kids.
Yeah.
Nine in 10 of them are using
They've created thousands of flavors for these products. I wish they had thousands of flavors of ice cream.
Exactly. But that's another story. Like, can we just feed our kids
right.
ice cream?
So it's a problem. It's a problem. And they do their research. And some of these flavors and brands mimic brands that kids are familiar with, right? Mm-hmm. Sour Patch, right? Different candy brands, cereal brands. Like, it looks way too
cereal brands
familiar.
And anything that's very...
Yeah.
kid friendly.
It's not a coincidence, unfortunately. So we have a lot of work to do still, but I think with our collaboration and our passion for what we do, I think we're going to continue to make big strides. I mean, since we started these inspections, the number of locations that are selling the flavored vapes has gone down. But again, it's these smoke shops that are
the problem.
A lot of them are problematic, you know, for the reasons that I mentioned.
So, one of the message that we have to get out is we have to get that message out not only to the kids, but to the community, to the parents.
Absolutely.
Parents have to know
what
these things are and what they're doing to the health of their children.
Right.
You know, it was interesting because I had met with our superintendent of schools several weeks ago to talk about layout, mm-hmm. doing some of the programs in more of the schools.
Right.
And he was telling me that at the high school, they had a major sewer backup.
Yes.
And when they broke open the sewer line, they
found out
that it was loaded with vapes.
With vapes.
Because the kids are, if they're
they're
in the bathroom,
they're just tossing
it.
They're hiding it.
If somebody comes in, they throw it in the toilet and they flush.
Wow.
So you know, and listen, that's the least of our problems.
Right.
I know. I know.
But it shows you
popcorn
right.
lung and
it does
stuff
show
like
you
that.
There
but it
is
does
a problem.
Show there is a problem in the schools.
Right. Shows and there is a problem in the schools.
Mm-hmm. It's,
I speak to principals, I speak to the high school principal, I speak to the superintendent. There's a problem. And getting the message out to the community. You know, and I would even say our governing body, the city of Clifton.
Mm.
I'm not sure if everybody realizes, you know, everybody goes into a 7-Eleven or a local
mm-hmm.
convenience store where all of this stuff is being sold. If you don't know what you're looking for, you're not going to report it.
Right.
Right.
So getting out to the community and letting the community know what to look for when they go into these stores. And I went to my local convenience store, who I know has been a problem for mm-hmm. Leal in the city. And I told the owner,
mm-hmm.
get ready.
Yes.
They're coming. They're going to come and visit you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you'd be better off getting rid of it now before they get here.
Right.
Because the community has to know. Parents have to know what to look for. Parents have to know what to look for in their own child's book bag.
Mm. Yes.
You know, kids put it in their book bag, take it to school with
them.
Yeah.
And they're making it look like... a flash drive,
right?
Exactly. So they're making it look like highlighters. Mm-hmm. They're making mm-hmm. it look like flash drives.
You wouldn't think twice about them.
And you wouldn't think twice.
Right.
But now
mm-hmm.
it's time to, let's see if that's really a flash drive. Let's
right.
see if it's actually
right.
a highlighter.
Right.
And then you open it and there's coils coming out.
Yes.
It's a vape.
It's a vape.
Let's remove that from their backpack. And unfortunately, we do hear some stories where students are getting it from older siblings or even, unfortunately, parents right. who leave their vapes. So even like if you do are a parent who vapes, mm-hmm. let's protect that in right. a locked bag.
Yes.
So the kids don't
exactly
get it. Right.
Exactly.
Have you been seeing a lot of problems with hookah or hookah flavors or any other tobacco product use?
So right now the hookah flavors, you know, those don't fall under the flavor ban, which is surprising.
That's interesting.
To us, you know, it's a flavored tobacco product, but for some reason there is not a ban on all flavored tobacco products. Right now it's the vapes, and that's because, again, youth are mostly using those vapes. They're not,
okay.
you know, there are some that use the hookah, but I guess, you know, some of the
it's a bit
agencies don't have reason to be concerned. Okay. Like, it's not at alarming levels like we're seeing with vaping. Like, with vaping, it's become an epidemic among our youth. So, you know, hookah, there's still, obviously, there's a ton of concerns with hookah. That could be a whole separate podcast episode.
Right. Yes, and we will have that some other time.
Yeah, but, you know, I have to say, I think the vapes are more of a concern with youth.
Yeah.
And again, like, well, legislatively,
right.
it's
right.
confusing.
It is.
It's confusing for the health officers. It's confusing for the courts. So if we can't get our legislators to come together and put together some strong legislative plan,
yes.
it's always going to be confusing. I mean, we have the support of our municipal courts here in Clifton.
Yes, thank you.
There's no, you know, if the legislator don't come up with bills and laws that spell it all out, everybody's going to, you know, look for that loophole to get out from under. When the sellers of these products tell people, I'll take the fine because it's the cost of doing business.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous. Wow. That just because that means the fine ain't stiff enough.
Right.
The health department and the people writing the tickets don't have enough teeth in the law to really go after these people. We gotta work really collectively with our legislators. And I've spoken again. Yeah. Like I said, I've spoken to our council.
So what would you suggest are some tips on how we can advocate a little bit?
Couple things I think that we can do as an organization. And recently they did a presentation at the council meeting. I think we should do a presentation on the vapes. Let the council know what they look like, what's being sold out there in the community. Let the community know. A lot of people, they may not show up at the council meetings, but they tune in. They do watch them on TV. And that's a way of getting the message out to the community. This is what they look like. So if you go into a store and you see a store selling it, pick up the phone and call somebody. Let them know. Let the health department know. So Layal can't, like we said earlier, she can't be everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, all the time. We have to have
the community's backing
exactly
to help us.
And then on top of that is work with our we have new legislators in our district. We have Senator McKeon and Collazo and Bogoli as assembly. Let's work with them to have them work on tightening the laws and putting real legal language that give the towns. You hear now if you say it, you can't do it under city ordinance because it's legislated by the state.
Right.
But if the city can only issue fines at a certain level, the owners of these these companies and these stores are going to say it's the cost of doing business. But if you can increase the fines and then continue to increase the fines with every infraction, that makes it a little bit more. You know,
a little bit
hits them in the pocketbook a little bit.
Or if I can jump in, if there's a certain number of offenses, at what point can we take away their tobacco license, you know, or have the state come in and do their own investigation where, you know, their tobacco license is at risk, you know? We have to kind of have to
think outside the box a little bit. We got to
I'll tell you, thinking outside of the box was really, I mean, and kudos to Layal because she thought outside the box. She brought in the Division of Taxation.
Yeah, I think that was a huge home run
for us because the law enforcement, our narcotics, Clifton's got a wonderful law enforcement community.
Yes.
I think one of the best. But they don't have the ability to just walk into a place and start checking things. Mm. Where the Division of Taxation is going in to look for tax issues.
Yes, right.
They can do that. And in partnership with the health department and in partnership with our narcotics division and our local law enforcement, our community policing, We were successful with Omar's, very successful.
And I think that is a good start, but
yes.
We're here to win the game.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to bring the the big hitters in.
Yes.
And so if you're scared of us, just get ready. We're coming for you. Like
I
you
agree.
Said, we will be coming for you, and we're here to win.
And the
we're
message
here
will
to
get
save.
Out. The message will get Our out. The message yes. at Omar's mm-hmm. will go over to Blaze. Yes. We'll go over. The message yeah. will get out in the community that, you know, and I go back to years ago when Clifton, you know, the police department used to wear T-shirts, you know, chase them to Clifton where the pursuit ends. I mean, this is where it's going to end. It's going to end here because we have a health department team that is John
that
and Leal and everybody
cares.
Else committed to making this problem go away. And like Leal said, here and in Little Falls. You want to go to Passaic? You want to go to Patterson?
Right.
Knock yourself out. You're not going to do it in the city of Clifton.
Right. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Tom, so much. And we truly do appreciate your partnership
Absolutely.
With the Clifton Health Department and everything you all are doing. CASA is our
shining star.
Right? Where they are our shining star, and we do appreciate it. Even when you attended our accreditation events and like our focus group. Thank you so much for doing all
pleasure.
That.
It's my pleasure. It's our pleasure.
Because
it is
truly important. Yep. You are an awesome partnership with the Clifton Health Department. And Lael, I know I wasn't going to say it, but here I am. The anti-vaping queen is going to come for you. Is there any final tips or advice you would like to give our listeners?
I actually do want to remind listeners that we do have a one-pager on flavored vapes. So if you, you know, it kind of shows you what to look for, you know, in terms of, you know, what's being sold at these smoke shops or gas stations or convenience stores. We have a one pager, and if you see anything, call me.
Where is that found?
It should be on our website.
It's on our
website.
It's on our website.
We've posted it on social media. Okay. We can actually repost it just so it's
we'll
more
post
visible.
It, we'll repost it.
Yeah.
We'll definitely post it underneath this podcast description.
We'll make sure it's visible.
And we'll get the word out there. And do you think it would be wise to put it in any of newsletters or things like that as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe we have posted it to newsletters. Awesome. And, you know, I actually haven't gotten any calls after that went out, but we can try
to
push it. Yeah,
the community. Maybe they don't know what it
right,
is.
Right. Exactly.
But now,
right.
They might have
Absolutely.
An idea.
And if we end up doing the presentation for the city council, hopefully word gets out. You know.
Absolutely.
About these devices.
Yes, and so we'll post, as you talked about, the Division of Taxation. That is public.
Yes.
Knowledge,
yeah,
right?
We do have a press
there
release,
a press
very
release.
Brief,
okay.
just summarizing what we did, what date, what happened.
Yeah, because we're a transparent
yes.
Health department,
yes.
so we are not hiding anything.
Yes, and actually all of the results of the tobacco inspections
are on our website.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We do have to update it, I believe, but we will make sure it gets on the website.
Inspection, so the community knows which ones have failed,
Absolutely.
Which ones have sold to minors.
It's not,
wow.
Yeah, we're not hiding that from anybody.
Wow. Any final words, Tom?
Just that, again, CASA's committed to working with the health department, the police department. We have some events coming up, National Night Out.
Yes,
we
will be there.
Park.
Yes, we will.
We will have literature on the tables to push out information to the community.
Awesome.
It's a big community event. Thursday the 29th of August, we do our overdose awareness candlelight vigil here on the front steps
yes.
of
oh,
City
wow.
Hall
okay.
at 8 o'clock in the evening. Again, there will be tables set up with resources and information. The more information we can push out into the community of what resources there are and what the problems are that we're facing, the better off we are. So we've got a couple things that we're doing right
awesome.
Now. And then again, then September we'll be back into schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Leal can do her thing for the auditorium.
Yeah,
and
the
health education.
Yeah. Everybody's
going to
be
out.
Trained.
And
yeah.
we've got a tremendous relationship with Dr. Robitazzi,
yes.
Mike Doctor from the Board of Education, our community policing, Sergeant Giardina.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that we have as an organization, CASA as an organization, have not asked for that we don't get, and whether that's from John or community policing. It's really a great partnership,
right.
and
awesome.
And we're happy for it because
yes.
it's gonna get us where we need to be
yes.
here in the city.
Have you guys ever, I'm not sure how your guys are a board of trustees. Mm-hmm. If someone would like to join or just come, are those meetings
public? Our meetings are public. Okay. We're open to the public. They're the last Tuesday of every month at 6:30 here in the health department. They can always contact me on my cell phone. It's on the website. It's on the Clifton website.
Okay.
And my cell phone number is 973-800-2938. And we're always looking for new volunteers.
All right.
Absolutely. But we do meet the last Tuesday. The last night was our meeting for this month. But we do meet the last Tuesday of every month.
All right.
Here
thank
in the health
you.
Department.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for thank coming you. On Clifton Health on Air. I learned a lot. I hope our listeners learned a lot. And I just want to thank you so yeah, much
for good conversation.
Everything you are doing. Yes, it was yes. absolutely a wonderful conversation. And thank you so much and have a wonderful summer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lauren, take us out.
Tune in to our podcast every other Monday for a new episode. If you have any questions, you can email us at health@cliftonnj.org. You can visit our website at www.cliftonnj.org. You can follow us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Clifton Health. And before we leave today, let us ask ourselves, did you make a difference in someone's life today?